Again, that's Matthew 28 and John 4. We'll get to those in a minute. And while you're looking for, and if you don't have your Bibles handy, they will be on the screen. But while you're looking for it, let me pray for us again. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us together here this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you moved here this morning. It's already visible and evident that you moved and that you touched people this morning. And so we just thank you for that. And now, Lord, we ask that you speak through these passages and you speak through my words this morning. And I pray that my words are your words. And as always, we invite the Holy Spirit to be present here with us this morning, because we know that as your Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And we know that as your Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something very different today. Normally, I start with one passage of Scripture and we pick it apart to really understand it. Or other times, I'll take several passages of Scripture and we string them together to build theology, right? Today, I'm just going to reference those Scriptures that I mentioned, and then I'm going to build a foundation by explaining some things. We need to understand some of these foundational issues before we can understand these Scriptures that I want to reference, right? So today, and then next week, I'm going to come back to the same topic. We'll dive into the Scriptures much deeper. So in a lot of ways, today is a really long introduction to next week's message. Okay, but I don't want you to think that I've suddenly become someone who doesn't preach the Bible. But I'm just going to reference these Scriptures, and we're going to lay a lot of groundwork first, okay? But we'll get into the Scriptures next week. I want to start today by talking about being on mission with God. Understanding what the mission of God is and what it looks like, and making sure that we're joining God on mission, right? And then in the process of describing what the mission of God is, we will find out what the primary purpose of the church is. You ever wonder what the church is supposed to be about? Because culture tells us a lot of things about what the church is supposed to be about, right? This will help us understand what is the mission of God and what is the church to be about, all right? Now let's read those two scriptures that I referenced, Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, how much? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If Jesus has all authority, how much is left for the devil? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then John 4, starting in verse 35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and a harvester a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Now, this first passage from Matthew is known as the Great Commission, and it's related to the mission of God that I want to talk about today. The reason I read the second passage from John is because Amy and I are leaving tomorrow morning to go to a conference, and this is the theme of the conference, The Harvest is Ripe, from John 4. Now, to explain this conference, I want to read to you a quote. I'm going to read a quote from this book to help you understand this conference that we're going to tomorrow and help you understand the message here today. Now, you remember how you quote yourself, right? You just say, a wise man once said. All right, a wise man once said, there is this amazing missions conference I'm invited to attend every year. When I attended that conference in 2022, something struck me. While sitting in the main meeting room one day at this conference, I looked around the room and noticed all the legends in the room, people who are absolute legends in the world of Christian missions. For a moment, I was sort of awestruck to be in the same room with these people. But then something sad dawned on me. Everyone in the room was older. They all had as much gray hair as I do, and I have a lot of gray hair. The thought that went through my head in that moment was, where are all the young people willing to give their lives to the cause of Christ on the mission? Missions could end with the people in this room. Missions could end with my generation. So that's why I wrote this book, and that's part of what this message today is about. So again, today I want to talk about this idea of the Great Commission, or being on mission with God, as it is called. Now, the mission of God is also referred to as the Missio Dei, and I'll probably use that term most of the time today. Missio Dei is simply the Latin for the mission of God, okay? So let me begin to explain what is the mission of God or the Missio Dei. Christine, I'm going to move your microphone so I don't keep bumping into it. Well, that's all right. It's all good. So let's start with a quick explanation of the mission of God or Missio Dei. This is God's redemptive history, so to speak, okay? Since the moment Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God has been on mission, or Missio Dei, to restore people back to himself. And this mission that God is on has been to restore the relationship between mankind and God himself, right? The sin of Adam and Eve had separated them from God. And the sin of Adam and Eve still contaminates the world that we live in today, right? Now, in the Old Testament era, God's mission was primarily seen through the work of the practice of the priests in the temple. The priests would make an animal sacrifice to make right for the moment the sins of the people. But this system was flawed in that the priests who made the sacrifices were also sinners, and the animals, you know, you would kind of have a vicarious transference of sin to the animal, but it's not exactly apples to apples. It's more like apples to kumquats, right? And so the effect of the sacrifice only lasted until the next time you sinned. So the need for the mission of God to advance. Part of what the word missions means is to go or to be sent. So God the Father sent his son Jesus to go to earth on mission to finish the work of Missio Dei. Jesus comes to earth. He lives a sinless life, dies on a cross to be the final sacrifice needed to make right the sins of mankind before a holy God. He takes the place of the animals that the priests used to sacrifice. Then after his death and resurrection, Jesus does something amazing. He hands the Missio Dei off to the church. And in fact, there's no plan B. It's the church's job to carry forth this mission or this Missio Dei. If we don't do it, there's no plan B. Jesus also made it clear that this mission of God was now for all people in all nations, and we looked at that last week. But the mission of God, the Missio Dei, is now complete in the person and the work of Jesus. No more sacrifices for sins need to be made. It's done. It's finished. So now the mission of God is simply to spread the word of what Jesus did for all people. And Jesus gave the church, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to take the baton of Missio Dei and run with it to the whole world, right? So God finished his mission with the work of Jesus on the cross. Then Jesus hands that off to us. Now just take this message and just go. Just all you got to do is just take the message and go. The work is done. So here are the first two important points I want us to get. Missio Dei is first and foremost God's mission, okay? Second, the church does not have a mission of its own. The primary emphasis for the church is through what God did and Jesus and the redemption for the world on the cross. We don't have a mission of our own. Our mission is to bring forth the mission of God with Jesus on the cross, right? Let me summarize in case that was clear as mud. The Missio Dei, or mission of God, is to restore mankind back to God. Now, through the work of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, that work is finished. The mission of the church, then, is to make Jesus known, plain and simple. So to be on mission with God means to make Jesus known, and to be on mission means to go or to be sent across the street and around the world, local and translocal. I want everyone to hear that, because sometimes we hear the word mission and we automatically think some other part of the world, some other country. Mission means walking across the street to your neighbor. Mission means to go or to be sent. Right? So Jesus finished the work of God, and now our job is to simply go and to be sent, local, across the street, translocal, international, but we're bringing the message. We must not lose sight of the second part of the going. To be on mission with God means to go and to make Jesus known. As we look at the teachings of Jesus throughout the Gospels, he says this again and again and again. Go. Stephen, bring up Matthew 28:19 again, please. Therefore, sit around and do nothing. says, therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus taught them, right? There's the go in there. We can't get past the going. Go make the Missio Dei known. God is pursuing his people with great love, and so our job is just to evangelize and to make disciples, right? And here's the thing, we have no other mission. Nowhere else in Scripture does God give us some other mission. He's pretty clear, just go and tell people what Jesus did. So therefore, the primary purpose of the church is to make Jesus known. Take the Missio Dei and go. But we often question the timing of this. Oh, is that for now? Is that for later? Is it in this era? Is it in that era? Stephen put John 4:35 back up there. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So in case you were wondering when the going was supposed to take place, it takes place the minute you open your eyes. The time for this is now. The people are ready now to receive Jesus. I'll come back to that in a minute, but when a harvest is ready, the harvest is ready. If the primary purpose of the church is to make Jesus known, then by implication, it's also true of the individual believer, for we make up the church. Right? My life is to be on mission with God, making Jesus known every way possible. It will look different for each person, but our lives must be overrun with the Missio Dei. Now, of course, there is a problem. Remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, it was because there was a snake in the garden, right? There was the enemy, the devil. Just like the devil tempted Adam and Eve into sin, so the enemy will do everything he can to stop the mission of the church. Now, the Missio Dei can't actually be stopped because it was completed by Christ. It's finished. But now the mission of the church is the primary target of the enemy. Right? Our sole purpose as a church is to make Jesus known. And so now the enemy's like, okay, that's my target now, the church. I will stop them from making Jesus known. Jesus also tells us that this mission will come with risks and adventures. He tells us that they will imprison us and even kill us. You know, I've been planning on this message for several weeks, and then last night I got that text message I read to you about those 8 YWAM students that were killed last night. There's a perfect example. These young people were giving their lives to go out and spread the Missio Dei and spread the message of Jesus, and they got killed on a bus last night traveling wherever they were going. And if you want more similar stories, a wise man once said. So now we need to ask ourselves some questions. Are we as Christians on mission with God? Is the primary purpose of the church to make Christ known? Statistics continue to show that less than 10% of American churches are growing through new believers. Less than 10% of American churches are growing through new believers. Yet the number of people who claim no faith affiliation is growing. Which side is winning? So just from the numbers, it would appear that we're losing ground, which is why Amy and I head to this conference tomorrow morning to help turn the tide. But we can certainly start to ask ourselves now, why is the church losing ground on making Jesus known? In my opinion, it seems that the church has become distracted from the mission of God. The church is consumed with meeting the needs of the people already in the church. That was the totality of the church growth movement of the 80s. Remember the church growth movement? Made a few mega churches, and that was about it. Because it told churches, just do what you do really well to make all the people in the church really, really happy. Where's the mission of God in that? And so it wasn't new believers coming into the church. It was a few churches stealing members from other churches. The church growth movement was about meeting the needs of the people already in the church. Pretty sad. Our society and our life here are easy and affluent, and we carry those expectations into what we expect from the church. The expectation is that our church should look and function like a Mariano's grocery store. I recently received an email from a church growth group with this headline, "Up Your Coffee Game." What's that got to do with the mission of God, right? Their thing was, if you get your coffee good enough, people will come. So, I don't want those people. Nothing about that has anything to do with the mission of God. Do you see the difference between growing a church and being on mission? The bulk of church resources in our day go toward making people happy. And then there is no time or money left for being on mission with God. Listen to this. I wonder if the desire to have felt needs met in the church is the enemy's tactic to keep the church from the mission of God. Let me say that again. I wonder if the desire to have felt needs met in the church is the enemy's tactic to keep the church from the mission of God. If we're all about making ourselves comfortable, we never get around to going on mission, do we? As I have sat with this question the last few weeks, I really felt the grieving heart of the Lord. And I was reminded of some things. I was reminded of the early days of the Vineyard movement, when the Vineyard was having huge numbers of people coming to Christ, and they didn't even have children's ministry. John Wimber, in his first year of having the Vineyard Church, saw 5,000 people get saved, and they didn't have children's ministry. The children would just run around and do whatever they wanted. But in that early days of the Vineyard, they just gathered around the presence, as we talked about last week, but then they made Jesus known. In their day, they went out to the beaches and they preached to the hippies. And of those 5,000 people that got saved, many of them were hippies. And nobody wanted hippies in their church at that time because hippies were weird, right? Returning to the mission, there is an urgency to see the church, the capital church, capital C church, and our church get back on the mission of making Jesus known. Part of the reason I wrote my book and that we'll attend this conference this week is to help do just that, make the mission of Jesus known. We all need to readjust and think about our life in church. We must put our eyes back on the Missio Dei and adjust our expectations for church. Understanding that church's primary purpose is to make Jesus known. Right? Let's take an honest look. Here are some examples of the kinds of questions Americans typically ask their church. And I've heard all of these directed through me. Will my kids have a good time? Will I get something out of worship? Worship's about God! People say, I didn't get anything out of worship today. I'm like, well, good, because you weren't supposed to. Worship's about God. You weren't supposed to get anything out of it. It's not about having a warm fuzzy. Will the sermon speak to me today? I'm more concerned if the sermon will convict you today. Will my need for community be met? Will I find a friend? Now, these questions are all fine, but how often do we ask instead, will I be on mission with God today? Will I advance the kingdom today? Will I and my church be on mission with God today? How will I make Jesus be known today? And here's the thing. If we put our needs first, we will only discover that we have other needs. When the church starts meeting the needs of the people already there, it never ends because there's always a new need. Pretty soon it's not just having the best coffee in the world. Now we got to have the best whatever else thing in the world, right? I've been to churches that have big flat-screen TVs in the bathrooms. Smoke machines, yeah. I'm not allowed to say it anymore, so thank you. See, our human nature will never be satisfied, so we'll always demand more from the church if we lose sight of the fact that the church's primary purpose is the Missio Dei. But if we put our focus on the mission of God, those other needs will begin to take care of themselves. God has a strange way of doing that. When you actually go on Missio Dei, all those other perceived needs of yours will be met. For example, your next best new friend might come from the person you witnessed to this week at the grocery store. Here's the danger. If we're always focusing on our meeting our needs, then the church's primary purpose is about self, which I think describes an awful lot of the capital C church in our day today. And I believe that this is why the church isn't making Jesus known very well today. We started focusing on felt needs rather than being focused on the Missio Dei. So let's transition. Let's talk about things and steps that we as individuals and the church can do and take to ensure that we are on mission with God, okay? I have three here today to keep it short, but I'm sure there could be many more. Number one, we must have a deep understanding for the love of Missio Dei. God has been on this mission since the moment Adam and Eve have fell, and he hasn't wavered from it once. Thousands of years, God's mission has stayed the same, born out of that hesed love I talked about right after worship. Let the mercy of God for his people overwhelm you. I remember a story. Years ago, I was actually at a missions conference, and I was coming down in the elevator, and the elevator doors opened, and my best friend Ed was standing right there. Ed's another pastor, and he was just weeping and sobbing uncontrollably. I'm like, "You get on the elevator, Ed?" And he's like, "No, I can't." And he goes, "I'm overwhelmed with God's love for his people." And he just stood there weeping in front of the elevator for like 30 minutes. We can invite God to do that to us. Here's the thing. The mission of God reached you and it put you here. Right? Now, we need to get a deep understanding of that mission for the people that aren't here yet. The Missio Dei must capture and move us to action, not acting for ourselves. Right? All right, number two, be on mission with God in your own life. When I say be on mission with God, remember, I don't mean traveling around the world to some unknown place. It can be that. I mean making Jesus known throughout our everyday life in everything we do. Be very intentional about this. And if you want to read a really great book about that, there's a book called God's Relentless Pursuit by Phil Strout. He used to be the director of the Vineyard. He's retired now. But this book talks about grocery store evangelism, being on mission in the grocery store. This is a great book for living out the mission of God every day. You know, there are people in this church, sitting in this room, that I met getting my hair cut. There are people in this church that got saved at Walmart because somebody in this church stopped and prayed for them in Walmart. Somebody in our church noticed somebody in Walmart was limping. They stopped. They prayed for them. They got healed. They got saved. They brought them to church. We baptized them. That's what it means to be living out the Missio Dei in everyday life, right? Number three, begin to think differently about church. Before we ask, what can the church do for me and my children, ask, am I on mission with God through the church? Who will I invite to church? How will I participate at church to make Jesus known? We used to do these great outreaches every summer. There's some really fabulous outreach opportunities here in our community. And so we invested a lot of time and material into having the kinds of resources that we need to reach people at these outreaches. And for years we did these outreaches, but it quickly became Amy and I doing all of the work all of the time. So we stopped. I would like to start these outreaches again this year, but y'all are going to be doing it. You understand me? We're not doing all the work anymore. Y'all are going to be doing these outreaches. And then let Jesus meet your needs in the going. People always say, "Oh, I just want community from church." Well, great. Come on the outreach with us, and you'll have community while we're doing outreach. Come to the food pantry on the second Saturday of the month. You'll have community as we work at the food pantry. Kingdom women, kingdom men. Yeah, thank you for the plug. No, that's great. That's fabulous. This might be a huge paradigm shift for many people, but I believe this is more in line with what we see in Scripture. For many people, church was just something you went, you sat there, you went home. But it was because those churches didn't understand the Missio Dei. They didn't understand that the church's primary purpose is to advance the name of Jesus. You can't just come sit and go home and call yourself a Christian. Did that sting a little? All right, as I end, I want to recap these two scriptures real quick, and then we'll dig into them more next week. You can go back to Matthew 28, Stephen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Notice it doesn't say make converts. It says make disciples. Do you see there's a difference? A disciple is someone who is growing. A convert is someone who is attending. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Oh, we hate that word, don't we? Who are you to tell me to obey? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Here's the other thing I want you to see in this. This passage reminds us that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, which means the mission of God cannot fail. It has no enemy. He has all of the authority. Then by implication, Jesus gives us that authority and tells us to go. So as we go, we carry with us all of the authority that Jesus had. Do you understand that? You have as much authority as Jesus had. You have as much authority as I have. Now we've got to get off our duff and go. This wasn't a casual suggestion here in Matthew 28. It's in the Greek grammar command. John 4:35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage, a harvester, a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Even now, at this point, those who sow, those who collect, are getting paid. They're drawing a wage in the kingdom. This passage tells us that there are plenty of people who are ready for Jesus right now. But you see, the world and the media tells us a different lie. It tells all people don't want anything to do with religion, and they don't want anything to do with church anymore. Yeah, they do. Jesus promised it. He's not lying to us when he says this. He says there are people ready now for the kingdom. You see, when something is ready for harvest, there is usually a very small window when conditions are just right. When a farmer sees that his crop is ready, he doesn't go to bed for a long winter's nap. He gets on his harvester and he goes out there and he harvests it during that window. Jesus also tells us to open our eyes to see that the harvest is ripe. Here's what's interesting about that comment. In the scene right before this, Jesus met the woman at the well. Remember the one that had five husbands? The implication here is that the others around, the disciples, did not see that this woman was ready for the kingdom. They only saw her problem with the five husbands. They didn't see that she was ready. And then also right before this scene, Jesus' disciples try to get Jesus to eat something. But he says that his food is to do the will of making the kingdom known. You want your felt needs met? Go on mission. It was food for Jesus. I bet it can be for us too. All right. Worship team.